Now, Talk Real Estate, sponsored by Boston Connect Real Estate Services.
Hi, I'm Sharon McNamara, and you are listening to Talk Real Estate. I am going to be your host for the next hour. Let me share a little bit about my background before we get started. I am the broker owner of Boston Connect Real Estate, located on the South Shore, and I have been working as a full-time realtor and sales and marketing consultant for home buyers and home sellers for the past 15 years. I have helped hundreds of clients throughout the home buying and home selling process. My unique approach to assisting my clients to the next chapter of their lives is driven by being a team player and by offering them continuous training, education, advising, and mentoring. I like to say that I offer my clients exceptional service that moves you. Every week, I will be providing you with real estate topics ranging from home buyer and home seller advice, legal matters, insurance binders, flood insurance concerns, home inspection questions, environmental worries like radon, lead paint, and mold, mortgages and loan programs, staging tips and ideas, real estate contracts, market trends, home values, and more. It's a talk radio show, and sometimes we are even interactive, so you can follow along online. If you have any questions during the show, please call 781-837-4900. We love to talk real estate. If you missed any of our shows, or if you want to listen to one again, you can listen on my podcast at talkrealestateradio.com. If you would like a one-on-one consultation with me regarding your home sale or your home purchase, I'd love the opportunity to meet with you. You can connect with me anytime at bostonconnect.com or 781-826-8000. Now, sit back, relax, take good notes, and let's talk real estate. And hello to all my South Shore neighbors. This is Sharon McNamara. You are, of course, listening to Talk Real Estate with Sharon McNamara. We got Ryan. I don't know if we got a little jiggy going on in their ride tonight.
Oh, yeah. I was dancing. You were just too busy before.
Oh, I know. Well, I was listening to Cindy telling me that she's a real estate
professional.
Whatever. Professional, yeah.
Really?
That was the word. It was something like that.
Wow.
But I draw the line at certain things.
Yes. So we are live this evening, just how we like it, because our Wednesday nights have been fabulous. So if you're on your ride home, we hope that Malcolm is clearing the path for you to have a nice ride home. We have Ryan Mann in the phones, right? All right.
I'm here.
All right, perfect. 781-837-4900. If you have any questions for us tonight, I know we ended up with some questions. I think maybe last week we ended up with a question, I think, from someone. But not sure.
Might have been Cindy. Me.
Huh?
It might have been me.
Yeah, you did ask a lot of questions last week, actually. I have my sidekick with me. That's Cindy Ford. She is also a broker associate over at Boston Connect Real Estate. Mm-hmm. I am the broker owner, and happy to announce we are doing great. Yeah, I was looking at, like, I don't, you know, look at market statistics, easy for me to say that often, but I looked at some last night, and boy, we've been working.
Mm-hmm.
No wonder I look like this.
Thank God you saw something, because I'm exhausted.
Yeah, I know. As we all come in on two wheels, we have a couple special guests with us.
We
tonight,
do. I'm so excited tonight.
I am, too. So we'll start with Laurie. Hi, Laurie.
Hi.
Are you nervous?
I am a little.
Don't be.
Okay. Oh, jinx, jinx, ooh, double jinx.
That was
okay.
In stereo.
We've been together way too long.
Yes, absolutely. So we have Laurie Reaney with us. And you are also a broker, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you're an associate broker over at Boston Connect Real Estate, full-time real estate agent. And Laurie and I have been friends for a very long time, right?
Yep, we
and
have.
I just feel so very specially lucky that she's in our office.
Absolutely.
So you've taken on sort of a manager role for us as well over at the office, because you're so super smart at what you do. Now you're doing trainings for all our newbies. Mm-hmm.
She is.
That's correct.
Yes.
Fantastic.
So, not
job.
Super smart, but training is fun.
Yeah.
I love it.
You've been doing a great job.
Yeah.
So we have a Buffini thing going on right now. And we have the one and only Mark Stiles. Mark,
we
haven't been with you across the table in a while, because I think you've been, the last time I think you were here, were you doing like your bike ride thing? But you're not
hosted,
doing that this year.
The last time I actually hosted for you when you were out fishing or doing
yeah, I'm
something.
Sure Sharon was
work-life
let's
balance.
Let's be honest. I need some of that right now, but we went out for like a little excursion on the boat. We haven't had a chance since, you know, we have so many personal things going on in our life, and the boat broke. Let's just go there.
Oh.
Yeah, no. It was not good. But we hear that music. So real quick, we're going to get to Malcolm, and he can tell everybody how they can get home quickly and safely while they're listening to us. Hey, Malcolm.
Hello there, Sharon. This report is brought to you by Positive Coaching Alliance. We're still looking at delays coming down Route 128 right out of Lexington from 4 and 225 down through Braintree, northbound expressway up to 24. On Route 3, it's a little slow getting down past Union Street. Expressway traffic is still heavy and slow all the way into Braintree, northbound from Furnace Brook up to Neponset, again Savin Hill into the O'Neill Tunnel. On Route 3A, it's all bumper-to-bumper getting off the Southern Artery down to Washington Street, which is completely tied up, right out into the Rotary and getting onto the Four River Bridge. Questions about youth or high school sports? Positive Coaching Alliance can help. PCA, a national nonprofit organization, develops better athletes and better people through youth and high school sports. Info at positivecoach.org. Traffic on the Nines. Every morning, I'm Malcolm Alter in the WATD Traffic Center.
Don't miss a minute of Talk Real Estate. Check out the podcast page at talkrealestateradio.com. Talk Real Estate, sponsored by Boston Connect Real Estate.
And we're back. Hello to all my South Shore neighbors, and you are listening to Talk Real Estate with Sharon McNamara, Cindy Ford. We are also sponsored gladly by Fairway Mortgage. We always like to try to get them in there. Dan will be on in a couple weeks with us, I think. I haven't seen Dan in a while either. But tonight, more importantly, we have Laurie Reaney with us from Boston Connect Real Estate, and we have Mark Stiles from Stiles Law. At one point or another, you dropped group, right?
It was Stiles and Associates. It's Stiles Law.
Stiles Law, yes. Mm. And you have some really fabulous, not that you're not.
So other than you, yeah, Mark, other you have than a great you, team.
No, but you know what? I feel like, you know, that sort of goes, you don't have to really say that, right? Because you are who you are, right? Mark Stiles from Marshfield. But the attorneys that you have in your office are just as fabulous. And I love that because, you know what? Not that you're ever spread thin, ever, but I love talking to Emmanuel. And then you introduced me to the new attorney in your office, Chris
Solland,
And he was great. And he's like a Dorchester guy, so like by osmosis. Oh, mm-hmm. We're in love. Yep. He just doesn't know it yet.
Yeah, we've got a great team. We've got as good a team as we've ever had right now between the attorneys and the operations department.
That's great.
Yeah.
It really is. And, you know, like your back end of your office works seamlessly because everybody has their specific roles and their specific duties, which makes it very easy for us as real estate agents. Similar to me, like, I'm going to be honest, like, I never talk to Gina, but Mary does, you know.
Well, that's it. The team approach is that's what we're trying to model. Mm-hmm. We're trying to model the mega agents like your office that have the teams set up. So we have a transaction coordinator now that interfaces with the buyer's agent or whomever it is, and keeping the principals outside of the minutiae and trying to make it so that the agents have the ability to go out and get more business and interface with the staff and make it much more seamless.
Yeah. You know, the thing that I really do like about it, though, is that it does take us as real estate agents sort of out of some of that, like you said, the minutiae of it. But I think that there's nothing more important than communication.
Right.
And communication with our clients is so important. So it gives me that extra time to have those one-on-one conversations with my client, sort of on like a level of, you know, just being personable, you know?
Right.
So you can sort of feel what they're going through, because everyone's going through something, you know?
Every deal is unique.
Yeah, well, moving isn't easy.
No.
You know? I'm telling you, we're sort of going through something right now, and it's bringing a new light to me for, you know, regarding, like, estates and a death of a spouse. And, you know, I was saying off air that one of the things I'm so disappointed in, and I don't know if I should say this out loud or not, but my father-in-law is 94. My mother-in-law passed away 3 weeks ago, I think it was. And the mail and the phone calls and the door knocking from outside agents just, like, trying to, oh, I have a buyer for your house, or let me tell you what the value is. And it's like, you know, I've been he's been married 70 years, living in that house for 70 years, and just throw that stuff. I had dinner with him last night, and I'm looking at all this stuff on the table. I'm like, it's icky.
Yep.
It's not cool.
It's reality, though.
There's
the bottom feeders in every industry, and that you see it. You don't see it because it's not happening in your office, but all of a sudden you have a situation, and it's right there in
it's
your face.
Really, really
I mean, it was the same with during the subprime meltdown. All those poor people who were having trouble, you know, making their mortgage payment or making, you know, getting food on the table, and they're same people knocking on the door, hey, I heard you're mm-hmm. losing everything. Can I come in and steal your house from you?
I know, that's awful. Yeah. Well, I mean, and that brings a good point, though, with, you know, what we're going to talk about. I don't know exactly what we're talking about tonight, but we'll figure it all out. With you being an attorney, though, I think that there really is no, that, like, that's such an important part, but being a real estate attorney. So can you just explain to people why you feel being a real estate attorney, specifically dealing with real estate, makes more sense than having, let's say, a defense attorney or your divorce attorney handling it?
Well, it's like anything. I mean, you certainly don't want your optometrist to do brain surgery on you, right? But they're both doctors.
Yeah.
Real estate attorneys are very specific. They're very focused. They're focused on real estate. Mm-hmm. And real estate is a unique field in law. Mm-hmm. I am not going to defend somebody in a medical malpractice case because that would be negligent on my part, mm-hmm. because I would do a terrible job.
Because just like, they would lose? No.
Yeah. But it's not something that I'm familiar with.
Yeah.
And the field of law is so vast and wide that you can't do it all.
Mm-hmm.
And there are situations where family attorneys or litigator friends of uncles of clients will want to get involved in a real estate transaction, and it's fish out of water.
Yeah.
And it makes it very difficult for everybody, mm-hmm. you know, the agents most.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. No. Sorry. You're good. That was my inside.
That was Cindy Gaffin. No, that came out.
Yeah.
Sorry.
It makes it very challenging because most of the real estate attorneys know one another. And
yeah.
It's not a situation of collusion or anything like that. It's a situation that we know what mm-hmm. it takes to put a deal together.
Yeah.
And the reality of it is, and I say this over and over again, is the buyer wants to buy, mm-hmm. the seller wants to sell. Let's help facilitate that as opposed to put walls up mm-hmm. and make it difficult to happen.
Yeah.
When you have certain fields of law, litigators who are used to defending and prosecuting and fighting, they look into it and they see things that aren't there mm-hmm. and create what we would agree in our space as obstacles to a transaction, where mm-hmm. the reality of it is buyer wants to buy, mm-hmm. seller wants to sell. Why are we creating any anxiety on the deal?
And I would think an example, and maybe you can give some insight into it too, would be like all the contingencies that we have right now. I mean, it just seems like it's a contingency world when mm-hmm. we're writing up these offers and everything, that I think that you as a real estate attorney, and if you're, you know, representing the seller, you're looking at it one way, and then you're working with another attorney who's working with the buyer's agent, with the buyer. I think if you've worked in the past together, you almost,
right.
you know, you have that, hey, remember on this, you know,
right.
this is how we did it, or that you have the expectations. But I feel that defense attorneys, divorce attorneys, some other, I had a tax attorney one time. Oh, that was a lot of fun. I didn't want to talk about a drag. I was like, oh my gosh, this is awful. But I think that they look at those contingencies as a fight rather
right.
than sort of a quote unquote norm.
Right. Well, by the time the deal itself gets to us,
mm-hmm.
the deal should be already laid out.
Yeah.
You know, whether it's properly laid out and explained thoroughly or expressed mm-hmm. properly in the documents, I mean, that's our job
yeah.
to spell it out. But it's our job to take what the intention of the buyer and the seller are and put the deal together in a way that it gets to the closing.
Mm-hmm.
In our industry right now, in the current marketplace, it's unique.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the inventory is still low, the buyers are still anxious, so there's a lot more contingencies coming into play. I mean, we suggest, you know, opening up some of the contingencies and creating a little bit more of a mm-hmm. shift in risk and
yeah.
allowing for, because as you know, the biggest problem is you know, people who want to sell are afraid to sell because mm-hmm. they don't have a place to go.
Correct.
So, mm-hmm. you know, where some people would normally say, well, I don't want to do a home sale contingency, or I don't want to do a suitable housing contingency, which is saying to the public, I'm offering my house up, but I need to find a house
mm-hmm.
also. A lot of agents customarily are very uncomfortable with those. But if they're crafted properly,
mm-hmm.
then a deal can happen. And it actually would open up more inventory, which would, you know,
mm-hmm.
create more opportunities for people to get into the game. So somebody else, some buyer who's coming out of a rental, sees that this house is there, they say suitable housing, that's fine. I'm renting. I'll wait. And they go and they have less risk of going out there. But there is a simple shift in risk, too. I mean, it's people have to assume some risk. There's no risk-free transaction. And and that's what the attorneys need to help facilitate, is to make sure that, you know, people are comfortable but informed.
Yeah. And I mean, my goal always, and I'm sure Laurie and Cindy too, is like, I never want a homeless client. Like,
no.
Yeah. We try to prevent that.
Yeah.
As I can see me now, I was like, you know, Casey and Mackenzie are at school. Come stay with me.
Right.
So,
yeah.
You could go stay in Ryan's room, right? No. Ryan's like, no, I'm all set with that. So other than, what are some of the other contingencies that you're seeing? I know you just gave a really good example of the home sale one. I mean, do you have, you know, before our clients, do you wish that they would go to you? I know that, like, part of, you know, your big focus is on training, and I think that that's great, because I feel, as the broker owner of Boston Connect Real Estate, very fortunate that I have someone like you in my life that is willing to take time out of your practice to come to my office and train my agents to make sure that we're doing the best that we can possibly do for our clients. Because I feel like that's important. Things are always changing, and I feel like you're seeing things that go wrong. I want to see those things too, so we never do them.
Right.
So what are some of the other things that you're seeing with, you know, being out there? You don't know?
No. You know, it's really about people coming together and being realistic.
Yeah.
You know, especially in this market. And I've been talking about this marketplace for a long time, and it seems to be loosening a little bit. I don't know if it's because, you know, more inventory is coming on, or buyers are just saying, you know what, I'm going to take a back seat and I'll see you in September. I'm not quite sure what the reason is why it's loosening up. So, but I think the best thing that I like to educate folks on is be reasonable, be understanding, stand in the moccasins of the other person, and know that, you know, if someone's selling their house that they've lived in for 30 years, it's very personal. And, you know, don't nitpick on little things, and, you know, be realistic, don't you think? Be a party to the transaction.
Yeah.
Don't be an opponent to the other party, right?
I know that this sounds a little corny, but, and I'm not even all, even though I am taking mindfulness classes, just want to put that out there. Like, one of the, I feel like the approach, and Laurie and I, we've talked about this in the office too, is just like a more holistic approach to selling real estate. And I feel, you know, people will say to me, you know, the success of Boston Connect Real Estate. Well, we generally don't look at our numbers. I only did because I have to pay quarterlies and stuff. We don't gauge our success by our numbers, or, you know, but I'm not, whatever, money doesn't motivate me. Helping people helps, you know,
quality
motivates me. Yeah.
Quality versus quantity.
So it's one of those, I feel that your office is very much in line with our office too, just making sure that we're doing the best for our clients. So in our office, we have something, we have our empowerment team, and Laurie is part of that, as is Cindy, as a mentor to our newbie agents, because that's the scary ground right there. Like, I think about what they have to come into and know.
Right.
And that's why it's beneficial when you come to our office and teach them as well. So TEAM for us, T-E-A-M, is training, education, advising, and mentoring. And I think that, you know, putting a team together in this capacity too, right, with the loan officers, with the attorney, with the real estate agent, the home inspector, I think that that's really important. Do you think that you would prefer clients come to you first to sort of discuss the process, or do you think that that's okay to start with us? Because what about writing up these offers?
Yeah, you know, that's the main reason I like to go and educate the offices, so that they can counsel properly from the get-go. It would be great to talk to folks before the offer. It's just not realistic, because the reality of it is they're working with their agent. They don't know when they're going to find the property, especially now. Everything is so fast.
Yeah.
So, you know,
it's scary too, though, don't you think, Mark?
It is, and it is.
It makes me a little uncomfortable, actually. Like, I've said this at the beginning of this season, that I feel, remember we were walking around the office and I was like, I literally feel like a lion in the middle of, like, Africa, and like a big storm is going to come, and I just feel like this anxiousness. But that's how I felt in 2004 and 2005 as well, like this, you know, instant gratification.
Yeah.
I just want people to slow down.
Yeah. Well, you know, the fear is that whole auction feeling, that frenzy, that emotional, I got to get it. I don't even care what it's worth. I just got to get it. And then And then they have the buyer's remorse. I mean, we've seen that a few times where there's, you know, 40 people coming through, 15 offers, somebody overbids on it, and then sits back and you know, the hangover hits. And they're like, why did I do that? I'm getting out of this at all costs. And that helps nobody. So, that I mean, you know, could we help that in advance? No, but we could probably help teach the agents how to manage those people to help make sure that they're making these informed offers and we're not just throwing paper around and hoping that it sticks.
Yeah. I mean, there are times in the office, and you guys, please catch in here. Like, I feel like me and Mark are just like out for dinner right now. You know, there are times when, as a listing agent, have you guys noticed this too? Sometimes offers come through. We've had our new agents in the office actually say, this offer came through and I can't even believe that this is what they sent us. And it's so scary to think that somebody's put in that position where there's so many loopholes.
Well, people lose a couple of deals and they start getting beat down and they say, I'm going to get this house no matter what. And that's frightening because, I mean, there's a number of reasons why that's frightening. One is the buyer's remorse hangover that I was talking about, but the other is it going to appraise?
Yeah.
You know, the agents listed it at a certain price point because that's where the value was. Mm-hmm. When you go 10, 12, 15% above that, it's hard-pressed to make sure that an appraiser is going to value that properly.
But I'm finding some people are putting in the really high offers and then their agents are saying, oh, we'll wait till inspection and then we'll bring that price right down, which is also wrong because the people that were really putting in a solid, good offer at where it should be and then the seller got all excited like, oh, look at this, we're going to take this, it's 30. They have no intention of paying that for
that
the most
stinks.
Part. They know. And that makes it difficult. I've gotten lucky in the fact that I've had received several phone calls where, you know, we weren't the highest offer because I don't want my client to go that crazy over anything. It's really not worth it. And then we get the call because of the buyer's remorse.
Right.
And I say, well, lucky for us. It's going to go down just a little bit on our offer now.
And then, you know, and that's where the professionalism of the listing agent comes in because the highest number is not necessarily the best offer.
And that's and it's not even professional. I just think that I personally have worked with people that they just don't know.
Yeah.
They, like, when I say certain things, it's like they're hearing it for the first time, and I think, I'm not that smart, and I don't know that much, but maybe.
Sometimes I hear agents say things, too, and this is not a bashing of agents.
No, no, not at all.
But it just,
but
like, sometimes it's, people are so, they're buying with emotion, and I can understand, too, because a lot of agents are feeling their clients are getting frustrated with them because they keep on losing, they're not getting it.
Oh,
and it's almost
tough.
Like you would, you know, I guess it would be like if you were my buyer's agent and you kept on, we weren't getting them, I would probably start to think, is it her? Why are we not getting these?
Right.
But the other thing too is the overbidding and then putting in their, you know, sale price to, you know, be at or above sale price, the appraisal.
Right.
Yeah, to be. So they know as well as we know it's not going to appraise.
Right. But it might. That's
and
the
it
crazy
could.
Thing.
And that's what I tell them. It could appraise
at
that. And then you're paying that. But I never want to put an offer in with the, you know, the plan to bring it down substantially ever.
Not.
I don't want to do that.
But then the flip side of that is a careful seller's attorney / listing agent is going to say, okay, well, you overbid. Mm-hmm. That was your choice.
Yeah.
So if you're going to have a contingency for the appraisal, it's only to the point of where we listed it at. Anything above, you're taking the risk on. If the appraisal comes below what we were asking, then, we'll talk about that. But over what we were asking, you took on that risk and you're going to own it.
So you have to make sure you have the cash.
Right. Out of
depending
pocket.
On the financing.
Right. And a lot of people incorrectly believe that the mortgage contingency clause might save them if there's no valuation clause in there.
Yeah.
And that's not necessarily the case because they may have those reserves. So the lender can't properly deny them because they have the reserves to pay it. Maybe they don't want to, but that's not a good enough reason to deny it.
But do some of the commitment letters, though, say, and the pre-approvals will say contingent upon the appraisal, right?
Right.
Won't it? I mean, is that regardless of?
Yeah, but that's separate from the actual contract. So the buyer and the seller have a contract that says there's a mortgage contingency clause. That clause says if for some reason you are denied your mortgage, then you can exit the agreement, terminate the agreement, and get your deposit back. But the loan may be denied based on the appraisal.
Okay.
But that's not good enough reason to deny the mortgage.
Because if you have the money, so if you can afford to buy a house without a mortgage,
correct,
then you wouldn't. So once you have that commitment,
if you've got reserves in your account, if you've got plenty of reserves, but you're taking out a loan and the appraisal doesn't come in, and you the loan, so basically what happens is the loan is based on, so if somebody does an 80% loan to value, they're basing that 80% on the purchase price, not on the appraised value. So where the appraised value falls, I'm sorry, the lesser of the two, so the purchase price or the appraised value. So if the appraised value comes in lower than the purchase price, then you're paying 80% of that. So the differential between the, in essence, the differential between the appraised value and the purchase price is just cash out of your bank account. Now, some people don't want to do that, so they'll try to exercise their rights under the mortgage contingency clause, but it's a failed attempt if they've got the reserves and the lender can still lend to them, but for the fact that the appraisal wasn't there. They'll do 80% of the appraised value, and then they'll have their reserves for the balance. So it is important to try, especially now, to get that appraisal contingency in there.
How often do you see transactions not go to the very end? I mean, is it sort of far and few in between?
It is.
I mean, I really haven't seen many in my career, 17 years.
Knock on wood.
I know, let's do that.
It's rare, but it happens. You know, but, you know, there's human beings involved. So.
Well, I know. I mean, there was one situation I had. It was right before the commitment letter was due, just a few days before, but the gentleman got laid off from his job. I mean, you just never know.
Right.
You know, when those types of things are going to happen.
Right.
So,
right.
All right. Well, you're listening to Talk Real Estate with Sharon McNamara and Cindy Ford, along with Laurie Reaney, also of Boston Connect Real Estate, and Mark Stiles from Stiles Law. And we are going to go to a break. And when we come back, we'll talk. You want to talk more about contingencies or something more specific than that?
Let's talk about the team of professionals that a consumer should have
surrounding
them.
Okay. Well, that sounds great.
Hello, my name is Mark Stiles. I'm the principal attorney of Stiles & Associates, a law firm located in Marshfield. Our practice focuses on real estate transactions. So if you're looking to purchase a property or sell a property, think about Stiles & Associates. Whether it's the home that you plan to raise your family in or looking to diversify and purchase a real estate investment, the attorneys at Stiles & Associates can help. Whether your transaction is traditional or one that's more complicated and unique, such as a short sale transaction, a bank-owned property, or a foreclosure, we can help. Our goal at Stiles & Associates is to make sure you understand the entire process, have all of your questions answered, but most importantly, are adequately protected. So give us a call at Stiles & Associates at 781-319-1900 or check us out on our website at stiles-law.com. STILES-law.com. Stiles & Associates, where personal service and professional excellence still matter.
I hate rain.
What are you talking about? I love rain.
Yeah, well, you're a duck.
Your point?
Well, being a duck, you're not a homeowner. Rain is great for the garden, but it also can bring wet, smelly basements.
I love a wet basement. Who doesn't like an indoor swimming pool?
Me. I'm calling Watchman Waterproofing.
Oh, no.
I'm Tim from Watchman Waterproofing. Water in the basement is no joke. It can damage appliances, cause mold and mildew, as well as structural damage, while decreasing your home's value. At Watchman Waterproofing, we make basements dry. No nonsense, no excuses. Whether it's a small leak or you're ankle deep, Watchman Waterproofing will solve your wet basement problem permanently. Don't wait. Call Watchman Waterproofing today at 1-800-653-4309 or go to watchmanwaterproofing.com. That's watchmanwaterproofing.com.
I never knew a dry basement could be this nice. I'm glad you went to watchmanwaterproofing.com.
We now return to Talk Real Estate, sponsored by Boston Connect Real Estate Services on 95.9 WATD.
There's like only four people sitting here, Ryan. You think any one of them could have just chimed in right now? Listening to Talk Real Estate with Sharon McNamara, Cindy Ford, Laurie Reaney, and Mark Stiles. Mark Stiles is from Stiles Law, and he is right here in Marshfield. But you service all the areas, right, Mark? So why don't you tell our listeners?
Do.
Because for you, this is different, too, because now we're at night, where before we were mornings every time you were on. So we have a different listenership. And if any of you have a question for Mark Stiles, who is, you know, an attorney, real estate attorney, attorney specifically, 781-837-4900, and that can be of any type of topic for Mark because you have him here tonight. What are the areas that you're generally servicing and helping people out with?
So we are a real estate law firm. We handle both residential and commercial real estate transactions for buyers, lenders, sellers, developers, investors. And we also have a practice in estate planning. And we cover, majority of our practice is in the South Shore of Boston as well as Boston. But we are licensed in Massachusetts. So as I say, we cover Pittsfield to Providencetown and everything in between.
Pittsfield, I don't even know where that is.
Totally
I
do.
I love P-Town, though. P-Town's like my favorite place.
Right there in the 70s.
Me too.
Pittsfield,
Pittsfield, North Adams.
Do you do the estate planning, or is that another?
No, that's Ben. Ben in our office handles the estate planning.
Yeah, that's probably why I've never met Ben. Never met him.
Good guy.
Yeah.
Very, very intelligent young man, too.
I bet. Well, I would expect nothing less.
Yeah,
right. Just like Emmanuel. I do miss my Emmanuel. He is...
Well, give him a call.
Yeah. He recently, I told you, you know, he reviewed my lease for Casey for her new apartment in Beacon Hill. And when she had her beach house and as a senior at Fairfield, he reviewed that. And doesn't she sound like Paris and Nikki Hilton?
Kind of.
I know.
A little bit.
Yeah, no. I wish, but it is not. No, she's a good kid.
Absolutely.
So, Mark, we were talking about putting a team together and, you know, all the moving pieces that go on with real estate. So what are some of the team members that you think are important and what is their role?
Well, obviously, at the forefront, the quarterback of the real estate transaction is the real estate agent, right?
Top of the food chain?
Well, we don't like to talk about it.
I think that's what you were going to say.
Well, that's what it used to be, right?
Yeah.
Now we're a team, so it's in a big circle, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then there's the loan professional, the mortgage officers. Mm-hmm. Then there's the real estate attorney.
Yeah.
And that's usually what most people focus on, the triangle, the trifecta. But what we've been doing lately is focusing and broadening the scope of the team to help the consumer. Because I don't think the three parties that were just named is enough to really protect the consumer. I think a CPA to be on the team. Most importantly, a really good financial advisor. And then, of course, the property and casualty insurance folks, you know, because it extends well beyond just the one real estate transaction. And what we've been doing is we've been talking to the consumers, the buyers, and the sellers before, during, and after the closing about their overall financial well-being and, you know, how their relationship is with their financial advisor. And if they say they don't have one, then we suggest referring one. And it's been very well received because we really believe that to have this core seven professionals surrounding the consumer protects them.
Yeah.
And if we're doing our job and we're holistically making sure that that person who comes through our office isn't just a number.
Yep.
They're not just a closing. They're a human being with a family and with specific needs. Then I don't think we're doing our job unless we make sure that they're covered completely.
Yeah, and that makes sense. And I love that you said, like, with the family aspect of it, because one of the things that I've always sort of done is with, you know, homes that I have to sell, especially when things were slower, you know, for my positive vision board, Laurie, you would, you know, agree with some of these things. I would take my MLS sheets and I would print them out. I think I did. I tell you this the other day?
You did.
And for each house, I would just put it on the back of my office door. And I would write on there, you know, thank you for your offer. I am grateful. You know what I mean? And it was like my way of just sort of like looking at it. But I said to Laurie, when I looked at those, I never saw a house. I always saw a family.
Right.
So I would look at, you know, 123 Main Street and I would see, you know, this beautiful family with their three little kids, you know? So for me, that helped. And it makes you get up in the morning because this business is not easy, Mark.
No. And it creates a better mentality. So you're not, you don't have that scarcity type mentality. I need that one deal. I need to get that deal and that offer. I got
to. Oh, to get to the next
one. I got
to
close it so that I can pay my mortgage.
Yeah.
You're thinking much larger, more abundant, right? So you're thinking in a bigger picture of, you know, the quantity. I mean, it's the quality of the of the transaction. It's the people. It's what you're doing. You're doing well. You're doing it for the right reason.
And a lot of people don't know. Right. Like when you had mentioned, not to cut you off, but you had mentioned the, you know, like having a financial planner right. and having the insurance people.
Right.
I'm just from the show by osmosis. Right. I have those things. And, you know, I'm right. obviously related
right.
To McNamara Financial. We right. had Alyssa on just a couple yep. weeks ago.
You are great.
Yeah. Alyssa, we're doing, we have another Financially Secure Women event coming up. And very much the same idea of what you're talking about, Mark. In the first event we had, it was just for women, though, with an all-woman yep. panel.
Cool.
Maybe that's what you need over at your office.
Mm. I have a woman attorney.
You do?
Yeah.
All right. Well, you'll have to introduce her to us because unless you want to wait until Casey graduates from BU.
She's going to cost too much.
Yeah, I know. And then maybe it would be like Boston Connect Law Firm.
Yeah. Yeah, right.
I know. But I think we had 85 people.
Wow.
So that to me showed too, like this holistic approach is really, it's really about being hands-on, but genuinely caring,
right?
Right.
Right.
Who do you use for insurance? Who's your person for that?
Well, I don't know if we should be speaking to that yet.
Oh, okay.
I have a few.
A few,
and,
yeah,
and
different people.
If anyone wants to call me at the office, I'd be happy to discuss yeah. it, but I don't want to necessarily.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'll talk about here because I have, you know, one of our co-hosts is Sean Cunning.
Yeah.
From Sullivan Garrity Donnelly.
Yep.
And I know he does a fantastic mm-hmm. job. He's one of our, you know, supporters here and co-hosts. And he's very, very good at the, what is it? The flood insurance.
Oh, good. Oh,
yeah.
That's important around here.
And he has been really, really good about calling because a lot of people aren't even familiar with where exactly you do need flood insurance.
Right.
So
right.
he'll answer questions.
That's important around here.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I have one client. He's he might be listening tonight, too, so I'm not going to say his name. But we're purchasing a house. We have the home inspection tomorrow, and there's, like, a little brook in the back. And he's worried about it. He's yep. worried about water in yep. the basement. It's
right.
just, you know, I don't know if it, maybe in the past life he was on the Titanic or something. It's always water, the
right.
questions, right? But I did. I reached out to Sean, and I was like, you know, can you just tell me it's not? But we and he asked me, well, how do you know it's never going to change? And I said, I can never answer that.
No, nor can no. Sean.
No, right. no one no. can.
Nor
can FEMA.
Right.
Right. Right. Because who knows? And that's why I said Pembroke could be waterfront property at one point. How do we know?
Right.
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 So global warming,
mm-hmm.
climate change.
But,
so,
but for the property and casualty, so Sean, for example, would be a good person, obviously, for the homeowner's insurance and for the mm-hmm. flood insurance. But one of the things that people really kind of miss is the umbrella policy.
Yeah.
You know, and again, when you're in a transaction, a scarcity model, it's boom, okay, now call your insurance guy. We got to get the policy that's sufficient enough to get through the
yeah.
loan and move on. Boom, that mm-hmm. insurance guy's out of the equation.
Yeah.
That insurance guy should not be out of the equation at
mm-hmm.
that point. They should be talking directly to that person's financial advisor, that person's estate planning attorney, and they should be together teaming up to make sure mm-hmm. that there's no gaps in coverage. It could be the worst thing that could happen is somebody unexpectedly dies and there's not any insurance mm-hmm. and there's not a plan in place and everything spirals out of control.
Yeah.
I have a very, very good friend, very dear friend, whose father died unexpectedly at a very young age, mm-hmm. was a life insurance agent, had no life insurance, had no estate plan, and the surviving spouse, the mom, had two teenage children
yeah.
and had to figure it out. And
yeah.
it shouldn't happen. And then you have a scenario where, you know, somebody dies and they have all the life insurance and they have all of the estate plan properly set up and
mm-hmm.
the surviving spouse is fine and
yeah.
they, you know, I mean, other than losing mm-hmm. their spouse,
yeah.
but financially, they're fine.
They're okay.
They don't have to go back to work and figure it out and scrap through. And
that's important to say, too, though, because even though when we had Alyssa on just a couple of weeks ago,
yeah.
remember, Sin?
Yeah.
We were saying, you know, I've learned firsthand with my mother-in-law passing away that, you know, we have Michael McNamara, who's a
mm-hmm.
financial advisor.
Right.
You know, he's wonderful and he's great. Even having him and having me as a real estate agent, and, you know, there are still a lot of moving pieces when you have
yeah.
five siblings, you know, you have adult grandchildren, 17 of them to be exact,
wow.
you know, a 94-year-old father-in-law who's still alive. I found this to be difficult.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't imagine, like, right. people who don't have that team
right.
put together,
right.
what would happen? Like, what would Papa have done if, you know, we didn't have Michael? What
right.
if he known where, he doesn't know where anything is
right.
because Nana did it, all that
right.
stuff.
Right.
So,
and that's why people need that team, and they need a team that's not just in it for one deal, for one transaction. They're in it for, okay, we're going to do quarterly reviews. We're going to make sure that we're set up. Things have changed. What has changed? And I see Michael in the paper talking about this. What are the 15 life-changing events?
Mm-hmm.
It's a great article that he put in the paper. And, you know, each one of those life-changing events requires an opportunity to sit down with your financial advisor, your estate planning attorney, your accountant, your property casualty advisor to figure out, are we covered? Are there gaps in what we're doing? Are we, you know, is our tax obligations going to be so excessive that, you know, it's going to deplete all of the estate? You know, those team members can get together and counsel the person so that they can feel good about moving forward.
Yeah, it's really important. 781, we're going to just bypass that, but if you're interested in any open houses this weekend, probably not many because of Father's Day, so to all our dads out there, if my dad is listening, happy Father's Day. 781-837-4900. Please call us. We have a few minutes left here, and we'd love you to have the opportunity to talk to Mark Stiles and Laurie.
I know.
Laurie talk. We're going to have to have Laurie on another time, too.
You need to sit
there. I'm not talking.
I know. Yeah, but I mean, what are your thoughts on all of this? I mean, you know, I know that you've met with Mark outside of the office as well, and you came back like super pumped one day, like, oh my gosh, like this is such a wonderful concept of, you know, because you were just sort of telling her about having a team together. What are your thoughts on the whole thing? You've been doing this. How many years have you been in the business?
20.
Wow.
20 years in the business. And meeting, doing that, the team aspect, I find it's really cool. And I do, to what you said, I feel they don't need a client. One of our clients doesn't need everybody all at the same time. I find it overwhelming.
Right.
And we found that.
Right.
You know, there are times when people say, well, not right now. I'm not ready right now. But then something will happen and we'll get the call. What about that financial advisor?
Right.
Can you talk to me about that?
Right.
And then we refer.
Right.
And it works. Mm-hmm. I feel like it's just it's value.
Yeah.
And it's great.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, life is crazy. You never know what's going to happen.
Right.
And you have to make sure you have all your bases covered.
Be proactive.
Yeah.
And I think as the real estate agents that we're sort of in this really nice place, too, that we do know so many different professionals that we can. They always come back. I had a text message this morning for somebody asking me for a referral for something, you know.
Right.
Which is, you know, it's nice.
It's nice to be able to say,
I got a guy.
Well, you're a resource. I mean, you're the quarterback. You're the resource for the people when they move into the house. It's not, you know, and that's why it's important that you stay in communication with them so that they see you as that resource. But you can add so much value to those people because you've vetted out the financial advisors.
Yeah.
You know who's just going to slam an annuity down someone's throat versus let's sit down and really figure out what a good strategy is for retirement and college planning and such.
Yeah, and there's so much, and it goes by so fast.
It does.
The time.
Tell me about it.
I cannot believe how fast that time goes. And that's the other thing, too, like putting a will together. Because I know you're the real estate attorney, so you're there to help us through those processes of buying a new house, selling a house, right? So you're helping getting to that next chapter. But as you're in a house for a very long time, let's say you're in that four-bedroom colonial, you're going to be there for a while. The prom pictures, the weddings, the grandkids, and then it doesn't get until a little bit later that you're ready to right sizes, which I like to say. To get into maybe a smaller condo or one-level ranch. But there's a lot of time in that one house, and I think this is the position you're talking about. So when you have that will done, all right, my children are 4 and 5, and if I should pass with Mark, I want Cindy to take my children.
Right.
Well, when my kids are a little bit old, you have to remember to make those adjustments and those changes because I've heard a lot of people say, I think I did a will one time, but I don't remember who it was with.
Or I don't know where it is.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I know. Yeah, that's even scarier. Mm-hmm. And it's scary for your spouse.
Right.
Right. And obviously things change. When your kids are 4 and 5, you probably haven't accumulated the wealth that you have when they're 24 and 25. And now they're not minors anymore, so the guardianship is moot. But at the same token, you've got You've got a different. Well, yeah. You've got different
you,
things with.
You
said
you clearly have young children because you lose that wealth when they're 21, 22,
all right, so when
and
they're 33 and 34,
right. You accumulate that wealth, right?
Well, when they leave. Away.
Well, and then it goes.
Right.
When like I started that, to touche. Like them, they decided to leave. I know. Well, Mark, we're just coming down to the end here too. I want to make sure that we give everybody the opportunity to have your phone number and to talk to you one-on-one because I'm sure you'll do consultations
of
with
course.
People, right?
Of course.
How can they get in touch with you?
So our office number is 781-319-1900.
One more
Again,
time.
781-319-1900. Mm-hmm. And I would invite anyone to visit our website at styles-law.com. That's styles-law.com. And we have a whole portfolio of blog articles on there about,
those are good.
About the residential real estate transaction. And we try to write them to the consumer as though they've never heard anything about real estate. And you get a good idea of what our philosophy on closings is by reading those. I mean, we have articles about how to review a purchase and sale agreement, but there's a lot of articles about how to be a good buyer and how to be a good seller and how to have one of those Zen transactions that we're talking about.
And you also have a great Facebook page, right? And we'll be meeting the team through that,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, that's on the Instagram page,
It's
actually.
On the Instagram page. Okay, so you can go to the Instagram page. Just find Mark Styles at Styles Law. And if you can't find him, we'll make sure that we get all the information on our website so you can be directly forwarded over to him at bostonconnect.com. Laurie, we're going to have you on again, and Cindy. But if you need to get in touch with either or any of us, you can always get in touch with us at the office, and they'll transfer you over, 781-826-8000, 781-826-8000, or bostonconnect.com. Find us on the podcast as well. Talk Real Estate Radio. Bye-bye.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.